My name is Levi Francois, and I'm on staff at the New Haven site for middle school ministries. And that trip, or that speech or sermon, took place a few weeks ago when we were in Haiti. And Chris had mentioned a few weeks back how amazing that trip was, and it was just incredible. You could ask any of us that went on that trip. I know there's a couple of people here that were there with me, and it was just incredible. It was amazing for a variety of reasons. For me, it was the first time that I had been back since I left 16 years ago, 17 years this September. So that was a really cool experience, and I'll never forget it. So before the trip, Scott came up to me and he had asked me to give a sermon down there. And I remember talking to him. He was like, yeah, in the past when we've gone, it's typically been an American, so we've had to have a translator. But how cool would it be, for you to give the sermon in Creole? And he was super excited about it. He said, Pastor Luke would love it. And I thought to myself, a couple thoughts came to mind. The first being, no. And then, because I just remember growing up when I was in church, in Haitian churches, the sermon would last a minimum of an hour. And at times, it would even exceed 2 hours. It was at the pastor's discretion. And I was thinking to myself, there's no way I have enough Creole to even last 15 minutes. So I really didn't want to do it, but that wasn't the expectation. It wasn't hours, and everything went well, as you saw. So the second thought that came to mind was, what am I going to share with the people of Haiti? I haven't been back in so long, and I was really thinking, I want to do something, or I want to share something that empowers the people, just because oftentimes you hear about how poor and how destitute the country is, and instead of telling them something that they can't do, or what they can't do, or what they lack, how about telling them something that they can do? And that came to mind because a few weeks prior to Scott even asking me, we were sitting at Staff Rhythm, and that's something we do on Mondays and Thursdays and other days that I just don't go to. But we're sitting in Staff Rhythm, and there was this verse in 2 Corinthians, and it was about generosity. And that was like already on the forefront of my mind. So when Scott had approached me and asked me to speak in Haiti, that was the same thing that came back to me. And I remember what God was telling me through that verse. So I was thinking, well, let me talk to them about generosity, because that is something that even though they lack, it is empowering to know that because God is generous, they can still be generous. So we arrived in Haiti, and as soon as we got off the plane, just a slew of emotions just hit me. And I remember talking to Adam. He was like, so how do you feel right now? And I was just numb. So I think I told him I felt nothing or something. But it was just really cool just to see the land again and just to see the people and the culture. And it was also awesome to see Haitians everywhere. That's something I wasn't used to. So it was Haitians everywhere, Creole everywhere. So that was pretty cool. But I had forgotten how beautiful the landscape was, and I had forgotten how beautiful the people are, and they're beautiful to me, and I had forgotten how I love the culture so much. So that was just driving through, getting to where we were staying, just looking around. I was just in awe, just taking videos and pictures all around. But another thing that was apparent to me is just how broken Haiti is, and how destitute it is, how poor and how impoverished the people are. And just looking around, you could see in their faces that it was just pain, brokenness, suffering, misery, and all of that was heightened. All of those emotions were extremely heightened, and I was just thinking to myself, man, why am I to speak to them about generosity again? So I started feeling insecure. I started feeling insecure about the message, about what God was prompting me to do, what God was prompting me to say. And I wanted to ditch the whole thing all around. I just said, you know, let me just come up with something new. But one, I knew my Creole wasn't strong enough for me to come up with something new on the spot. So I had to just stay the course. And two, God was just working in my heart the entire week. and just really pushing me to speak about what he had shown me a few weeks prior. So throughout the whole week, God was just working in my heart. And not only was he just bringing that passage, that 2 Corinthians passage, to the forefront of my mind, but he was also reminding me of just my testimony and my story, and just being in that place, just reminding me how far he's brought me. So the fourth day we were there, my cousin, who is also my godmother, she came to visit me. She took a three-hour trip, spent the little money that she had, and sacrificed time away from her family to ride in the back of a tap-tap. If you guys don't know what a tap-tap is, it's just imagining a 1996 or even older Ford Ranger that's beat up, broken down, shocks are bad, maybe holes, rust, and there's a cover on the truck bed, and you're trying to fit like 10 to 12 people in the back of that. So that's a tap-tap, and she spent 3 hours coming from Port-au-Prince all the way to Gonaive to where we were at just to come visit me. I was extremely thankful, and when she got there, that's her picture. So that's my godmother, and we took that picture, and we sent it to other family members, and she sent it to family members. So that was a really cool experience. And something I didn't mention is that she also took care of me the first 3 years of my life. There were some issues with my well-being, and God was prompting her and her mom to come and get me. And so I spent the first 3 years, most of my time with her. So as we're sitting down and we're just reminiscing over stories, and she's telling me about her family, I'm telling her about my family, showing her pictures, and she's telling me stories about just how wild I was when I was a little kid, and how she taught me how to walk, and things of that nature. It was just a stark reminder, once again, of how far God has brought me, just from being in that environment, being in Haiti, to where I'm at now, and just really reminding me of my personal testimony and what he's done all throughout my testimony. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians. We're going to start, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to start at verse 1. So like I had mentioned before, the big question that was on my mind was, why do I need to talk to these people about generosity? And God really revealed to me, first he prompted another question within my heart, and he just kind of said, well, for you to ask that question, think about this. Why is it that we need to be generous as it is? Why is it that us as believers, why do we need to be generous? And that 2 Corinthians verse kind of talked to me through that, and I'm going to give you some background before I read that passage. So the people in Jerusalem, they were struggling. They had they were just lacking. And there was the churches in Corinth started giving them money, started being generous towards the people in Jerusalem. But all of a sudden, they just stopped abruptly. So Paul, in an attempt to inspire them to continue to be generous, he told them the story of the Macedonians. And the Macedonians were extremely impoverished. They had nothing. But even though they were extremely impoverished, they were exceptionally generous to the churches in Jerusalem. So let's go ahead and read that passage. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. So if you read this passage briefly, you probably don't realize that this tells you not only that the Macedonians were extremely generous, but it tells you why they were extremely generous. So let's look at the first verse. And just another thing is, this passage kind of, it's easy to kind of limit that aspect of generosity to financial matters, but I think this passage goes beyond that, and the principle of generosity obviously extends just financial matters. So let's look at that first verse. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." And the introduction to this speaks directly as to why it is the Macedonians chose to be generous. And I love how Paul puts that in the introduction, because he's kind of just setting our hearts up for what's about to come next. And what he's doing in that first verse is he's giving us perspective. He's giving us the perspective of the Macedonians, and just kind of where their heart was at when they chose to give sacrificially. So my commentary, it says that the gracious work, my commentary on that first verse, the gracious work of the giving on the part of believers is more than matched by the self-giving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Macedonians knew to the extent that God was generous, and because of that, that's why they were able to be generous. And then we move on to the second verse. It says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And the commentary on that says that their abundance of joy came from the blessings of the gospel. So not only were they sacrificially generous, they also found joy in that sacrifice. And then if we look at the final verse, they gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. So just recap real quick, the Macedonians, in that last verse, it talks about how they gave themselves to the Lord. And in doing so, it's just kind of the mindset or the aspect of them giving everything that they have, everything that belongs to them. Their mindset and their hearts were oriented in such a manner that they knew that everything belonged to God. So all that was in their possession belonged to God. And because it belonged to God, God could freely use that to be generous upon his people wherever he saw fit. And we also see in that second verse, it talks about the joy that they experience in being so generous. And that makes me think back to Hebrews 12, where it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." So Jesus was sacrificial on the cross because he understood the joy that would come from that and just us accepting him as Lord and Savior. And then in the first verse, it just kind of talks about the Macedonians and how they were able to be generous because of the grace that God has given them. And simply put, they were generous because God was generous. So like I mentioned earlier, not only did God reveal to me why we need to be generous through that passage, he also was prompting me to talk about my testimony and just to remember and reflect upon my testimony. And all throughout my testimony, all throughout my story, God just has been extremely generous. So when I was 5 years old, my mom said goodbye to my brother, Sam, my eldest brother, Jay Benz, and my dad, and she promptly left for the United States. And when she first got here, she knew she had a plan in mind that she was eventually going to get us to come follow her here in the States. And so she was working menial labor and doing all sorts of things, just working multiple jobs, being paid what was minimum wage at the time. I'm sure it was less than $7.25, I'm sure. And she was doing all that just to set the grounds for us to be able to come here. And she was sacrificial in that endeavor. And I knew that, from what I gather, she was lonely because she didn't have her kids with her. She didn't have her husband. But she knew that even though, in another aspect, I'm going to foreshadow a little bit, she came here illegally, and so she knew that even though eventually she wasn't going to be able to spend time with us, she wasn't going to be able to completely enjoy that sacrifice, she still wanted it for us, and she still wanted us to have better than what was in Haiti. So a year later, my eldest brother, he came because he was struggling with depression and just being away from my mom. And that's significant because he lacked in relationship with my dad. And not only him, but all of us. We all kind of lacked in relationship with my dad. Things were tough, simply put. And so then the following year, my mom finally gathered up enough money and enough funds to get the paperwork and the documentations for us, for Sam, my dad, and myself, for us to come over. And it was all right. Life was good, but, I mean, we had opportunity, and we knew that there was something that was greater to come. However, it was hard. And just fast-forwarding to 2007, things started to get a little more difficult. So my mom, she was unable to renew any of her documentations. She was driving without a license at one point in time, and she knew that she couldn't continue living just this life of secrecy in America. So my older brother ended up moving to Canada just because of their illegal status. And, both of them, they were here on the travel visa, and if you know anything about that, you have a limit on the time in which you could be here, and if you extend that limit, then, exhaust that limit, essentially, then you run into contentions with the law. So they had to flee to Canada. And I think back to that story, and I think of how, even though my mom was sinful in breaking the law and lying and just being deceitful, how generous God was even throughout that whole journey. And like I mentioned, I'm not trying to tell you guys this story about her coming illegally to try to sway your judgments or your political leanings on the matter. I'm telling you the story because I'm thankful for what my mom has done for me, even though I know that it is something that is that I don't condone, and it is something that does come into contentions with what God has planned for us. So even throughout that whole period, God was generous in my life. And God allowed for not only my dad, Sam, and me to get citizenship here, but he also allowed my mom and Jay Benz to get residency in Canada. So my mom was eventually able to go back to school, and she's a nurse up there, and she's doing well. Not only that, but around that time, like I had mentioned earlier, things were tough with my dad. And when my mom told me she was leaving to go to Canada, I was strongly considering of going with her because I just did not know how things were going to be. Just Sam, me, and my dad, I didn't know how things were going to go. But right around that time period, God was generous in the fact that he put people in my life, specifically a youth pastor who would go door to door and try to get kids to come to youth group. And he came to my door, and he got me to go to youth group. And the summer before my mom left, I came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But not only that, even in the absence of my mom or the strained relationship with my dad, just me finding Jesus also allowed me to see that I have a Heavenly Father who is even greater than all of those things. So we're going to fast forward again to 2014. My mom came from Canada. She came back to the U.S. for the first time, and she came for Allison's and my wedding. And the day before, I remember that was the first time Allison met her, so that was really special. And after the rehearsal dinner, we're all sitting around the table, and my mom decides to tell a story about my birth. And this story is one that is extremely impactful in my life. And it's something that has, since I've heard it, it has influenced almost every decision that I've made And so my mom, before she got pregnant, before she had any kids, the doctor told her that she had a condition that would preclude her from having any children. So she and my dad, they were very faithful and very diligent in prayer, and my mom led them to adopting my eldest brother. And soon after she adopted my eldest brother, this woman, she was pregnant, and she didn't want the child, but my mom said, look, I'll nurse you back to health, and I'll take the child. And so soon after the woman gave birth, my mom got pregnant probably a few weeks later, a few months later. So that was just an act of faithfulness and how God kind of rewarded that. And then after she gave birth to Sam, she got pregnant with me. And the doctor told her that because of her condition, she could not maintain the pregnancy. And so the doctor's orders were for her to have an abortion. And she went through with that abortion. And she went into the doctor's office. They did the procedure. And after it was all said and done, the doctor says, that was a successful procedure. Your pregnancy is terminated. A few weeks later, she realized that that wasn't the case because there was something fluttering around in her stomach. And so she held on to the pregnancy as long as her body would allow, and eventually she gave birth to me. And as you could imagine, that story has a lot of spiritual significance in my life. And I didn't know if I wanted to share that story just because it's emotionally complex, and it could be taken many different ways. But for one, I don't harbor anything against my mom. If anything, I just see how generous God was in that aspect. And that story points directly to God and his generosity. So in a very literal sense, before I was even born, he was already sacrificial and he was already generous in my life. And as you can imagine, that's the most impactful story, one of the most impactful stories of my being. And I still think, even as I think back to that story, that still doesn't compare to the most impactful story of my life, which is the one that connects all of us as believers. That is the story of Christ dying on the cross for us. And so as I remember, as I stood in front of the Haitians and thinking back to just why I'm to share this story of generosity with these people, I just thought back to the passage, one, and how the Macedonians were so sacrificial with their generosity. I thought back to my personal testimony and how God has been generous throughout the entire process. And I think back to the fact that I'm a believer and I understand just how generous he has been in my life. And as I'm standing there in a room full of other believers, the same is true. So even amongst the pain, the hurt, the misery, God was still generous to the Haitians. And just like the story of salvation and how he died on the cross for us, that's not exclusive to any group of people. That's for everybody. The same is to be said about the story of generosity. That's for everybody. And so even in just moral complexities and thinking back to all the things that affect my life, and I know for a fact that there's many individuals here with stories that are just as complex. And there's just, it's filled with just the carnalities of this world. And even still amongst just the decisions that we make, the sinful decisions and the bad judgments, God has always been generous. And God continues to be generous. So as I stood in front of the Haitians, just like I'm standing before you, I can honestly say that generosity is not an option. And we need to be generous as a collective because God is generous. So let's pray into that. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for just how you move, God, and what you've done in my life. And I thank you for what you've done in Weston's life and just the many more testimonies that we have yet to hear. And God, I just pray that just this message would not fall on deaf ears and that you would move through this message. And I ask that if anyone in this room does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would come to do so before the end of the service. In your name we pray. Amen.